Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with my co-host on a Thursday. We are changing some things up and are now going to be recording on Thursdays. So look for this podcast to drop on Thursday afternoons. It'll be available Friday, Saturday to get you set for game day on Sunday night. But Jason, we've got another primetime football game another to talk about.
Yes, we do. And it's huge. First place in the division on the line.
And remember how in week one, we kind of talked about how the Bengals, like everybody says the Steelers are like everybody asks, oh, it's Steelers week, like as if that game carries extra magnitude in the Bengals locker room. And I do think at some point, and you can speak on this more so than me because you were in Cincinnati, but like when they had like Perfect and like some of the more like violent players and Pittsburgh had like Troy Polamalu. Like, I'm sure that was like a heavyweight fight. But I think because now things have shifted with Lamar Jackson being in the prime of his career and Joe Burrow being in the prime of his career, both very young, I think that, and we'll see what the Browns look like with Deshaun Watson, but he hasn't played in 2 years. So I'm not ready to just put a crown on his head. I think the Ravens-Bengals matchup is the divisional game that will continue to draw the most excitement in terms of primetime availability and to the toughest matchups for both teams. What do you think?
I agree. When you think of the Steelers, it's Steelers are, they're trending in the wrong direction in the post Ben era. And, you know, you don't usually hear this word in the NFL, or they're kind of in rebuilding mode. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear that more in baseball.
Like, but, do you think this is going to be Mike Tomlin's first losing season?
They're 1-3 right now. And did they,
they got a pretty tough schedule coming up.
Who they lose to last week?
The Jets.
That's okay. I knew it was someone not good.
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking just real quick as we talk about those rivals, you think back to even the season opener against the Steelers, and
that stadium ended up looking like a bad loss for the Bengals.
It is. But the stadium used to be so many Steelers fans would come to Cincinnati, and you didn't see it this time.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are the Baltimore and Cincinnati are sort of the trendy, the upward trajectory teams in the AFC North.
You wonder who the Steelers have after they play the Bills this weekend? Tampa, then the Dolphins, and then the Eagles.
Woo. Yeah.
That's potentially, I wouldn't pick the Steelers against any of those teams.
Yeah.
In all seriousness. Right. Philly's undefeated. Tampa's got Tom Brady and a really good defense. And Miami, I mean, we saw they almost beat the Bengals. So
I think the locker room and the fans see the Ravens as the rival in the division these days.
Right. So let's talk about this because I'm very interested to get your feedback on a couple of things now in your position now, because I know you've been watching the Bengals and following sports, but I think you're going to find some of these things about the Bengals-Ravens matchup very interesting. So last year, when they traveled to Baltimore at the end of October, it was the first time they had beaten the Ravens in Zach Taylor's era as a head coach. Mm-hmm. And it was a feast. Jamar Chase had over 200 yards. I believe Burrow threw for over 500 passing yards. They made the Ravens look how the Ravens made the Bengals look for 3 years before that. Like when the Bengals had no answer for Lamar Jackson, last year they hung 82 points on the Ravens. Granted, the Ravens had, I think, 11 starters at one point on IR. Like, they almost threw last season in the trash can because of how many starters they lost. But as someone who grew up in the Baltimore era where, like, defense was how the Bengals were feared. They were feared by guys like Ed Reed, Haloti Ngata, Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs. Like, they had stars, and you never questioned the toughness of the Bengals the Ravens defense and what you were going to see from them. They are giving up the most passing yards per, like, in the NFL. And I'll pull up the numbers for it, but it's almost 400 passing yards that they're giving up. So if the Bengals can get out to a lead on offense and not be that clunky you know what we see sometimes. If they can get out to a lead and kind of take the like wind out of the Ravens' sails early on and make Lamar beat them throwing the ball, because if they get up, he's going to have to start throwing it. The Bengals should win. But do we have confidence that the Bengals' offense is going to show up for four full quarters to get up on a double-digit lead against the Ravens to allow the Bengals' defense to kind of pin their ears back and get after Lamar and keep him in the pocket?
The short answer to that is no. And you just hit on exactly why I don't think the Bengals are winning this game, because I don't think that offense is there yet. And I think in a primetime game where, and you know, you put the stat on Twitter the other day, John Harbaugh is 18-2 in home primetime games. This sort of just really feels like it feels like the Ravens have not played well at home this year.
5-game losing streak
going back to last year. 0-2 at home this year, 2-0 on the road. They've been in those two home games, have been terrible offensively in the second half, but you just sort of feel like, I don't know, the home field advantage in this one. I think these are two fairly evenly matched teams, and the home field advantage in a prime time, like, it's just hard to see the Ravens dropping. They're going 3-for-3 on losses at home this year.
Well, and I have a feeling every NFL facility has like TVs, whether they be in the cafeteria or in the halls. I have a feeling John Harbaugh has the Ravens-Bengals games from last year on loop, like, because it was that much of a whooping.
You go back to last year too, and that's a great point. If I seem to recall, and I'm, you know, obviously wasn't covering sports then, but I remember watching that game on TV, and I remember like late in the game where Burrow and his receiver, you know, Boyd, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase were over on the sideline, and they were all, you know, they were enjoying the moment.
It was a big
smiling
deal.
And you're right. And the commentators were talking about, were just glowing about Burrow and the receivers. Yeah. And it felt like that was a game where, like, all right, this Bengals team's for real.
Right.
And I don't remember what happened before that or what happened after. I don't have my laptop in front of me, but I just remember that game as being like one of the big games of last season that you were like, okay, these guys are pretty good.
It was, because they really started to hit their stride from that game on. They had a few clunkers against the 49ers and the Chargers in early December. But that game was important to them, because it gave them the confidence that they could beat the Ravens, which was something that they hadn't done. And then if you follow that all the way to December, when they hosted the Ravens, that game was for the division title.
Yep.
And because they had already proved to themselves in that locker room that they could do it, they did it again. And that's how they won the division. So there is something to be said about the emotional boost that win gave that team last year. So now the Ravens are at full strength. The Bengals are, for the most part, except for not having DJ Reader, which I think is going to be a huge issue in this game because of all the games, to not have DJ Reader, to not have your best run defender against the most mobile quarterback. Yeah. That's a really big issue for the Bengals. But I thought that you would find this interesting. So everyone talks about Lamar Jackson as he's just like such an electric player, and he is. And then there's always the people that question, can he actually throw the football down the field? Mm-hmm. He is playing at the MVP level he was playing at in 2019. So there's, you know, your mobile quarterbacks like Kyler Murray, even Patrick Mahomes, who'd call him a mobile quarterback, because those guys can get out of the pocket and do some things, but they're primarily throwers first. Lamar Jackson, and it made headlines because he doesn't want to be perceived as running back because it's a discredit to what he can do with his arm.
Right.
But he's built like a running back, not Mahomes and Kyler Murray are not built like Lamar Jackson is. And he's really improved his passing game. So I asked Lou Anarumo why he is a different matchup than the other mobile quarterbacks that they see. And his answer was really interesting. I'll read it to you. He said, I've said when Lamar steps on the field, it feels like he's the best athlete at any position and that he can do anything physically at all positions. I think that's what kind of separates him. He has such confidence in his ability wherever he is on the field that he can get out of trouble. But maybe he can, if he's in trouble, he can get out of it a little more than some of the other guys because of what he has with his arm and his legs. And again, he's a league MVP for a reason, and it shows. So what he's trying to say there is when you see Mahomes scramble, it's usually because something breaks down and he has to scramble. Whereas Lamar Jackson, they're going to have design quarterback runs in their game plan for the Bengals. So now you're preparing for that. And I thought what he said was really interesting about Mark Andrews is his main target, and he has been since he started his career in Baltimore. And Lou said, well, I sometimes get a lot of people that say, why don't you double Andrews more? And he said, because when I send someone to help, when I send a linebacker to help double Mark Andrews, they're turning their backs away from Lamar Jackson. And what happens if Lamar hits a gap and their back is turned to them? Like, that's why he's such a challenging matchup, because it's not as easy as go double his best tight end and try and, you know, keep him in the pocket. Like, he's a freak.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this game is going to be – we talk so much about how good the Bengals defense is. I think we will really know, like, for sure. If they are able to hold Lamar Jackson and win this game, they deserve to be in the conversation of a top five defense in the NFL. In my opinion, no question.
No, I'm not going to question on that. I think they're right there.
Me too.
I mean, you and I have talked a lot about that defense, and it's a great point. It will be interesting to see this week whether they really miss DJ Reader.
Right.
You didn't see that last week or whatever, week and a half ago.
Yeah.
It was last week as we record today. But yeah, I think this is where you're really going to, this is where it'll be noticeable or not.
Well, but to some degree, we didn't see it last week because the Bengals got out to a lead.
That's
a great
point.
So this all circles back to what that offense does.
Right. Can we go back to the Bengals offense?
Sure.
I don't trust it.
Neither do I.
I just don't. I do not trust that offense. As I was writing my predictions column for this week, that was on my mind the whole time. When you're going on the road in prime time against for first place in division rival, and that's not a criticism of really any one particular player other than maybe Joe Mixon. That's part of why I don't trust this offense, is because they can't run the ball, and until they can prove that they can, I'm just having a hard time seeing it getting going this week, and I don't know why. I just a gut feeling. Baltimore is meh against the run. They're middle of the pack in stopping the run. They give up 5 yards a carry. So, you know, if this is a good defense to try to get things going, I just question whether Mixon is
still got it.
Yeah. And I heard Rocky Boyman talking about this on WLW the other day, and he mentioned that as well, former NFL linebacker. He raised that, what you and I talked about, was that last week on the podcast or a couple weeks ago on the podcast?
All blend together in the NFL.
But you and I think we were the first people in the media to raise this, are we seeing the decline of Joe Mixon? And again, that's not a criticism. It's just the nature of an NFL running back. And now I think others are questioning it. And, there's been ample opportunities for him. Certainly, I don't know what the stat is after last week, but he's in the top three. What in the top three in carries in the NFL?
Second.
No, second. Yeah.
Well, so I got something for you that I think you'll find even more interesting since we're on that subject. So how about this when we're talking about Mixon and Lamar and all the situation? I dug pretty deep into the numbers last night. He has more rushing yards. Lamar Jackson has more rushing yards, 316, on fewer carries, 37, than Joe Mixon, who has 221 yards on 82 attempts.
Yeah.
So if that's not showing productivity with the attempts that you're getting, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. Granted, yeah. I know Lamar gained some of those rushing yards by his ability to scramble. Correct. Or if they have
the pocket broke down or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, or if they have a design quarterback run for him. But the biggest thing to me that tells the story is on 37 attempts, he's got 316 yards. The Bengals are trying to run the ball with Mixon. 82 attempts, second in the league, you just said it, and only 221 yards.
Yeah.
So I think those numbers are pretty telling to what we're talking about, and that's why it's going to be interesting how much longer the Bengals, Zach Taylor, Joe Mixon, the offensive line, keep using this term, close. That's all we hear.
Yeah.
They're close. They're close to hitting the run game. They're just a couple blocks away, some missed assignments away, but they really feel like they're close.
I'm not seeing it.
When is that not good enough? At what point during the season do you say, well, close isn't going to get it done, so we either need to rip up our game plan and get a new scheme, or we need to make some changes at running back. But your options aren't that – you know, Mixon was a Pro Bowl running back last year.
He's like a team captain.
You need more from him. So I don't know if it's an individual conversation with him. We got to talk to him on Monday, which there's a lot made sometimes in the media about if Mixon, he doesn't make himself available all the time. I will give him a ton of respect on this podcast. He sat there and he answered every question from the reporters for about 30 minutes. And he said, I have to be better. And that's when he told me that he held like a players only meeting last week with the offensive linemen.
At his house, right?
No, in the building.
Oh, okay.
And they went through every run. And then I went up to Ted Karras and I said, was that meeting productive? And he said, yes. And I think you saw it in the Dolphins game. So we'll see. But I just wonder at what point close becomes not good enough.
If I can ask a question about the running game against the Dolphins was still
subpar.
Meh.
Yeah.
You look at his stats, and I mean, he had a 31-yard run against the Steelers, and he had 82 yards total, which is a season high, but his number of carries, so the average wasn't, you know, 3 yards a carry. So the average overall has been hovering around 2.5 yards a carry. I think it's at 2.7 right now.
Right.
And I don't think he's ever in any game this year it's been above 3 yards a carry. I didn't see that against Miami. You saw that one nice run when they're inside the 10, and basically the offensive line pushed him into the end zone. And that was a thing of beauty. But where's that been for most of the season? Right. The push has not been there. The breakaway has not been there. And
well, and there's the tipping thing that people have now noticed. I got sent a whole Reddit conversation about the Bengals fans that are big on Reddit. I'm not a big Reddit girl, but maybe I need to start. He's tipping based off of his body language if it's going to be a run or a pass.
Okay.
And the smart people on Reddit have dictated this whole thing, and they actually talked about it on NFL Live, where the Bengals, this is where you have to give Zach Taylor credit, have been – Burrow likes to be an empty in shotgun. That's his thing.
Yep.
That's what he wants to do. But when your run game stinks and people don't respect it, now you got to go under center so that the defense doesn't know whether it's going to be a run or a pass, which is going to force Mixon, Burrow to go more play action. And Mina Kimes ran the numbers from week one to the Miami Dolphins game, the amount that Burrow has gone under center versus shotgun has like increased instrumentally. So first of all, that shows that's coaching, paying attention to the tape and realizing how do we change the game plan? This isn't working. What worked for Burrow last year in the spread empty, get in the shotgun, that worked because Mixon was playing really well. But this year, he's not. The run game isn't working. So their only way to keep defenses off balance is to get in this play action where Burrow turns his back and the defense can't see if he's going to hand it off or if he's going to keep it. And he's mobile enough where they do have to respect it if he keeps it. So it's a very interesting conversation, situation, and something you and I, I'm sure, are going to talk about probably for the rest of this year.
Well, it's, you just took, I was just thinking that at what point is, if this run game doesn't get going, that this is going to be a conversation that we just keep having, and it's going to put the onus more and more on that defense. And that defense has been good all season, mm-hmm. and it's going to have to be even better if this run game cannot get going.
It's hard to ask a group that's been already that good. The one area that the Bengals defense needs more of is takeaways. So that leads us to our next point. And let's talk about the Ravens defense versus the Cincinnati's offense. They lead the league in takeaways. It's 10. They're tied for first. This is not a game where Burrow can be reckless with the ball. And he even said it. He said Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey are going to get up and play on these corners, and they're going to force him to throw into tight windows. When you can't run the ball, that's going to make this difficult because you're really going to stress to Burrow, don't turn the ball over. But if you can't move the ball on the ground and he's got to have to start throwing it, he is going to have to start taking some chances. So it's going to be very interesting to see. Like I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, Ravens defense has given up a ton of passing yards.
But it's masked by the takeaways. I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what game plan does Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan have, knowing that last year, Ja'Marr Chase said that at one point, the Ravens defense went into three double teams. They doubled Ja'Marr, Tyler Boyd, and T. Higgins. He said it was the first time he'd ever seen that in the NFL.
That's wild.
And Zach Taylor said at this point, he has seen that. He said, at this point in my career, there's nothing a defense does that I haven't seen. And he said for most NFL head coaches, it's that. It's just how effective are the Bengals going to be in being able to move Chase into situations where even if he is doubled, you get the ball in his hands because he's so magnetic and electric. When he gets the ball in his hands, he can do so much. But it's going to be fascinating to see, based off the success he had on the Ravens last year, what the Ravens do. Do they do the same thing? Because it's a different defensive coordinator over there in Baltimore this year. Miami chose to leave T. Higgins wide open, and T. Higgins smoked him. So are they going to leave Tyler Boyd open? I'm cool with that if I'm the Bengals. He's the best slot wide receiver in the NFL. So I'm just fascinated to see what type of scheme the Ravens come out with and then what the Bengals do. Like this chess game that's going to happen on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, and so in the Ravens giving up a lot of pass yards, Burrow called Humphrey and Peters the best, or probably, he said, might be the best, or probably the best, one of the best cornerback duos in the NFL. So you have that to contend with. Is it the Ravens front seven just not getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback? Is that their problem? And that's why they're giving up so many pass yards?
Yes. And they, I think the number is kind of skewed because they've given up big time leads. So when you're down multiple touchdowns, you're throwing the ball.
Double digit leads at halftime in these two losses.
That's why I think some of the passing yards, that's why it might be as high as that. but they don't have a pass rusher like Trey Hendrickson. Their player that I believe has the most sacks right now is Justin Houston, and he's on his way out of the NFL, and he popped up on the injury list yesterday. I don't know if it's a vet day, but I believe he has some sort of injury. But they just don't have the star pass rusher that the Bengals have seen in most games minus Miami. So from that standpoint, like, the Ravens are built from the back to the front. Mm. They've got great safeties. Mm. They signed Marcus Williams in free agency, and he leads the team in interceptions with three. Then they've got their great cornerbacks, Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey. And then from there, they've got Patrick Queen at linebacker, who played with Burrow at LSU. But their front isn't the typical Ravens scary front that you're used to seeing. They don't have the big nose tackle like Haloti Ngata was in the middle. So it's a game where I think the Bengals should be able to win up front and really test the Ravens secondary through the air. But those coaches on the other sideline get paid to put up a pretty good game plan too. So what happens there?
I don't know. Are you ready for predictions? Or do we want to do that after we talk with Charlie?
Okay, well, let's do that after we talk with Charlie, because maybe Charlie will sway one of our opinions.
All right, we got Charlie Goldsmith here for his usual segment every week, breaking down the film. Charlie, how we doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Good, man. I always just leave this open-ended because you come in here with your notes and you're ready to go. So I always just say, Charlie, what are you seeing?
Yeah, I like to start looking at the Bengals matchup against the Ravens defense. I think they're going to play Cincinnati very similarly to how they played Buffalo. And you look at the ways Buffalo scored, it was a combination of slants, scrambles, checkdowns, screens, and one big throw to the right sideline to the tight end. I think the Ravens have a lot of weaknesses in the middle of the field. You look to throw over their linebackers. You look to throw in the area of Chuck Clark, and they're playing Stevens in a different position than he played last year. Like, Mac Jones had an incredible game throwing against the Ravens slot corner. So they're going to be opportunities in the middle, kind of like there were when the Bengals played Pittsburgh, for example, and I think that's going to be a big emphasis for them.
Kelsey and I, right before you walked in, we're talking about, you know, the Ravens defense, and, you know, Burrow calls Peters and Humphrey, you know, one of the best cornerback duos in the league. They have a good secondary, but Is it that front, and what you're seeing on your film, it's that front that's the problem for them, right?
So a big difference between them is, like, they're not as exotic, everyone says, they were last year. Last year they would throw things no one else in the league was doing at you because that's what their defensive coordinator was. This year they're trying to get home a lot more with four pass rushers, and the four pass rushers just aren't good enough. I would say that was, again, the number one reason. Look at all of Josh Allen's biggest plays last week. Scrambles, extended plays, the one time where he spun three times. That's the kind of play where you need a really Baltimore Ravens style front that the Ravens don't have right now, talent wise. I know they have Calais Campbell. I know Odafe Oweh, I think, is having a really nice season, but I think they have two or three total edge rushers on the roster. They're already playing Jason Pierre-Paul, who they signed like last week. So it's not quite the front that's good enough to give the secondary enough time to hold up in coverage.
But, you know, Josh Allen ran for what I think it was 70 yards last week. And I didn't watch the game, but you did. It was most of that scrambling.
Most of it was scrambling. Yeah. I didn't see as many designed runs.
We wouldn't expect Joe Burrow to run for 70 yards.
I mean, he's done it. Like, for example, I think the Packers last game was a great example of the value of Joe Burrow's running game against Pittsburgh this season. Joe Burrow ran the ball a ton. Against Pittsburgh last season, Joe Burrow ran the ball a ton, and that was one of the big moments for him, showing that he could make guys miss in space. So he's done it, and I think really what an extension of it can be is the Joe Mixon checkdown game, which I think has been an underrated part of the Bengals' offense. He can be the one to make guys miss in the middle of the field and stay involved, even though it's been a slow start.
Kelsey, anything on your mind for Charlie?
No, but what he said makes perfect sense about what I was just talking about. Yep. Maybe, like, this is going to be a Tyler Boyd game. Like, if Charlie is saying that what he's seeing is there's a lot of space and openings in the middle of the field.
Charlie, let's go to the other side of the ball. Lamar Jackson, certainly, you know, we all know that, you know, he's a huge threat on the ground, huge threat in the air. What do the Bengals defense have to do to keep that in check?
Something they tried in 19 and 20 and something they did really successfully last year was using a 4-3 front on first and second downs in neutral situations. They played Akeem Davis-Gaither and Jermaine Pratt and Logan Wilson, a linebacker, and I believe their only snaps all three together were against Baltimore. That let Logan be more of a spy. Davis-Gaither more than I think any linebacker on the team. He's one of the faster linebackers in the league, so he can cover in space. That gave the Bengals the ability to stop the run and also the ability to track Lamar and his scrambles on early downs last season. I think that's going to be a big wrinkle that they can throw out again today, especially because of how well it worked last season and especially because the Ravens' receivers are even worse than they were last year.
Is there anything else on your note card there that you want to touch on before you jump out?
And that was mostly the defense stuff we were talking about.
So. Yeah.
Great. Good stuff.
Good stuff, Charlie. Your segment every week. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks, guys.
And now for some predictions from Jason and I. Thought about this for a while, and at the beginning of the season, I picked the Bengals to split this series with the Ravens. I had them sweeping the Steelers. That didn't happen. So I think because of the fact that the Ravens have lost 5 games at home, John Harbaugh's 18-2 in primetime games in Baltimore, plus the atmosphere of Sunday Night Football. Having been to games there during primetime, it's going to be electric. I think that I have the Bengals losing, but a close one. I'm thinking maybe like a 27-24 type deal.
Okay. My prediction is in the queue right now. It's going to post in the morning. And I said 24-23. Ravens win 24-23.
Oh, you go even closer than me.
Yeah, but we're right in that same. And you and I did not talk about this, but you and I are kind of in that same ballpark. And for the same reasons that you have, I feel that same way too. And I think they split this series and the home team wins. And
the Bengals will get them last week of the season.
Last week of the season.
For all the marbles.
After it goes
Bills, then Bills, Ravens. Then,
right.
Woo! What a stretch to end your year. Offense better be looking a lot more sharp.
Right, because it goes Tampa Bay, New England, Bills.
Ravens,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that is it for Jason and I. Very much looking forward to breaking down the game on Monday following Sunday's primetime game. But to get you ready, be sure to check out Cincinnati.com. Tons of good stories, predictions, everything you want to know about the matchup will be available. So we will talk with you guys on Monday.